My foot hurts too.
What did you do?
I have like peroneal tendonitis in my ankle.
Huh.
Comes from spraining my ankle too much and having high arches and all that bullshit.
Oh. Mine's dumber. I dropped a 2-liter bottle on it.
Mmm.
And now my third toe's all black and blue.
Mmm. My little toe is black and blue.
Huh. We're like samesies.
Yep.
Neat. So, welcome to week 975 of the Crankcast. The all foot, all the time.
Podiatry cast.
Yeah. We're so pedestrian.
I had to go to a doctor to have it checked out.
Yeah.
For them to basically tell me what every YouTube channel is basically said, you know. Usually, when I go to the doctor, it's more of like a, well, you shouldn't pay attention to the YouTube stuff and get the real answer and figure out what to do. And then I'm like, I went and I was like, this is exactly what the YouTube says.
So YouTube has become your telepresence, doctor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want it to be, but I mean, there is only so much that humans can do for certain things.
Sure. That reminds me that YouTube is trying out a new unblockable ad where they do it server-side and actually inject the ad into the video so that blockers can't block it.
I thought they were already doing that.
Well, they were trying other things where they were doing client-side stuff, where basically you download the separate parts and the video player assembles the ad into the video kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And that was partly how blockers were able to block them, because they figure out what that content was and stop it from playing.
Mm.
But yeah, the thing they're trying now is it's going to be coming from their side, and it's directly injected into the video stream itself, and you can't skip it.
Yay.
You can't fast forward through it, and I'm seeing reports of like 2.5-minute ads before like a, you know, a 3-minute video.
Yay.
Of course, I mean, that could be just buggy shit in initial implementation, but still, their war on ad blockers is really heating up.
Yay!
Yay!
The world's gonna end.
Maybe.
There's no maybe about it. It's gonna happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, eventually the sun's gonna go whatever, you know, expand out to the point where it burns our planet to a crisp.
I will have destroyed it long before that.
Oh, well, maybe. I mean, at that point, there probably won't be any humans left anyway, so. Just the AI bots running around trying to sell shit to each other.
That's true.
And reminiscing about the good old days. You know, when there used to be people to sell shit to instead of other AIs.
Mm-hmm.
So how was Pugfest? Did you get snuggles from Puggles?
Did I not? Man, why have we not talked so long?
The weekend that you were doing that, I had forgotten you were doing it, and I ran late that week, and then by the time I realized on Friday, I was like, oh shit, he's down to Pugfest, so I just didn't call that week.
Pugfest was good. It felt smaller than it usually has been, but...
This was down in Kentucky, right?
Mm-hmm. At their Louisville Fairgrounds kind of place, which is huge. I got lost trying to find the place in there.
So it was an outdoor Pugfest?
No, it's indoors. There's buildings in the fair. Also, they have a theme park there?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. What was it? I forget what it was called. Kentucky Land or some kind of bullshit.
Kentucky Land?
It is something like that.
Kentucky Land. Come, yeah. Kentuck us in.
Yeah. I thought it was closed, but there were people there.
So, did you move much merch?
Yeah, I did pretty well. There weren't many adoptable dogs, so I was lucky that way.
Were you worried that you might actually come home with another pug?
Oh, I was very worried about it. Mm. I did see a lot of cute little dogs that I played with, and everybody was real friendly, and that was good, and yeah, it was worth going down there, but it's just such a pain to go down there.
Did you fly or drive?
Drove.
Okay.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been worth it otherwise.
By yourself, or was Julie with you?
Julie came with me.
Well, that's good. Yeah, company.
Pain, yeah, but, I mean, she had been all over the world that week, and I wouldn't have wanted to drive down there if I were her, but she's been all over the place. She just got back from Boston and came home with COVID, so now we've been hiding out in the house from each other.
That sucks.
It's been a week so far, and I haven't got it, but she said she tested today, and it still says positive, so we're like hiding in our house from each other. It's like being in prison, except you're in your house.
Have you been sleeping down in the office and stuff?
I've been sleeping on a couch upstairs, but yeah, it's been like that.
Well, that's a shame. And fortunately, from your tone of voice, it doesn't seem like a very bad case of COVID.
I mean, she's not having fun, but...
But I mean, she's not like bedridden or anything, right?
No, she's annoyed.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as bad as the first time, that's for certain.
Well, that's good.
I have to go test after this just to make sure that I'm okay.
So have you been staying away from the office or the studio?
Yeah, I just thought it would be appropriate not to go in.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, best not to take the chance.
Yeah.
Spreading that stuff around. Yeah. I tell you, I still mask up when I go to the grocery store and stuff.
And I think a lot of people do. I don't think there's anything so bad about that, Will.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot less people. I'd say the majority, again, is back to being unmasked when I go. But, I mean, it's like, partly I do it because, well, you know, even if it helps me not get the flu or something, you know, I'm okay with that. But also, it's kind of like a fuck you. I'm like the people who wouldn't mask up during like the height of the pandemic. I keep masking now just to piss off the people that were upset about that. Like, anyway, did you get anything at Puckfest?
I did. I got a mask. Makes my mask count up to 3 for pugs. And I got a pug blanket / towel that's in the shape of a pug face.
Nice.
And I got a little pug stress ball that I can squeeze.
Oh.
And, yeah, that's it.
Cool.
Yeah, it was pug-tastic.
You were living your pug life.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to be in that again. I was just, this last couple of weeks, and I knew it was coming, I wanted to be ready for it, is that, you know, all the stuff that I've been sitting on my hands waiting for the last year and a half, like, has come in this past month, and so it's just been me kind of trying to wear through it without, you know, being late on anything and all that stuff. Finally getting to the other end of that now.
Yeah. I kind of, like a week or two ago, it was one of those situations where some stuff was running late and some stuff was on schedule, but it all kind of hit at once. And I just had to, like, slog through it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the little stuff came in, you know, this working on this comic for Dark Horse, and, you know, then I got, like, some other jobs that I couldn't turn down, so I had to do those. Just a lot of stuff, like the old days, but still trying to be a little smarter about it than I used to be. Because I used to be like, well, let's see how much I can take.
Right. Just pile it on. Give me more.
Now I know how much I can take, and I don't want to do that anymore.
I have to get a hold of a couple of possible clients this week. Not possible. I mean, it's stuff that, like, I don't know where they're at with it. And every time they contact me, it's like a different answer.
Yeah, that's new to me. Lately, it seems like every job I worked on, you used to be, they call you and say, hey, you available for something? I'm like, be like, yeah. They're like, okay, we'll talk to you. And then, you know, like 2 months later, I'm like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they give it to me. I'm like, well, dude, I appreciate that you were checking in advance, but yeah. I thought we were going to do this eventually.
Yeah, like one of the ones, one of the things I got to check on was it's a graphic novel, and they're, at first, it's like weird. Like I said, every time I talk to them, the plans change.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it was like, well, you know, we're going to feed you pages. I'm like, that's fine. And then they're like, what if we give you half the book and then you work on that and then we'll give you the second half? And I'm like, that's fine. And at one point they were like talking about pencils and shit. I'm like, no. I'm just like, straight up, I'm like, I won't work over pencils. I'll do inks. You know, I'd rather have colors so I can match everything up right away. But if it's a rush thing, I'll do inks. And then they were talking pencils, and I'm like, I explained why. I'm like, I have never, ever worked over pencils and had it, like, work out where I didn't have to do a major overhaul afterwards. Because stuff always changes, like, you know. And then, like, so then they were like, well, you know, how long do you think you need to do it? I'm like, well, it's 170-something pages or whatever. I'm like, I'm probably going to need, like, 10 to 12 weeks, you know, depending on how packed it is and how hard it is. And then that was the last I heard from them. So now I don't even know if I got the job anymore. Like,
not weird. See, that's...
And they're like a... I mean, they're an established... I don't want to talk too much about it, but I mean, they're like an established company. It's not like they're some fly-by-night organization or something, you know? But I think this department of them... It's book market work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this department of them, I got the impression that this was the first time this group of editors and people worked on a graphic novel before. So that I don't know if they know what they're doing, like down pat kind of thing. So I just got to check on it because it's like, it's already, you know, they talked about giving it to me 3 months ago and then they were like, well, we'll give it to you in June. I'm like, well, it's June. Where is it?
Yeah.
And they're, I don't know. And I think the date keeps shifting. Like,
yeah. Well, I told myself that if I finish this, I'll like go visit my friend Ron or come down there and visit you. It's like a reward.
Yeah.
Well, then it means then I'm rewarding myself with like
having to drive more.
Yeah, I love traveling. Yay.
Right. See, rewarding yourself would be asking somebody to come up and visit you.
Well, you know, I mean, I do want to come down there, and I do want to go to New Jersey. I would like to see, my guitar teacher has, like, a weekly gig that I would like to go see. That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But, I mean, I don't know. I'm enjoying my weekends by myself. Well, not this weekend. This sucks.
Oh, because of Julie being ill?
Yeah.
I thought, isn't it Heroes this weekend? I kind of thought you'd be going to that.
It is this week. I haven't been to Heroes in a while. I don't typically do very well there, money-wise, and it is a flying show, so it's like, otherwise, unless I have special stuff coming out, it's not really a fun, like, my, it's not a show I love doing because of that.
Mm.
Everybody goes to see friends and stuff, and that would be nice, but, you know, I can't put that kind of pressure on myself.
Heroes is the Charlotte one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I keep getting that one mixed up with, what's the one that's in Kansas City?
That's Planet Comic-Con.
Planet Comic-Con, okay. That's one I've always wanted to check out just because...
It's neat. It's very much like Heroes. Except I don't get invited to it anymore for some reason.
Mm.
I don't know what I did to that guy.
Kissed him off somehow.
I must have.
What else is new? What else have you been up to? It's been a couple weeks.
What are you asking me? I've just been working, you know. I work, and then I... sit down.
Oh, well.
I've been working a lot, so I haven't been practicing, which causes me more stress. Even though when I get a chance to, I'd rather pretty much do anything but that. So, I don't know. I mean, I talk to a therapist, but it doesn't help with this shit. I don't know why I don't want to do the stuff that I like doing?
I can't answer that. I mean, because I sit down and play, but I don't play, like, to practice anything, you know?
I mean, I noticed me getting better. I just wish that I felt more like doing it. I mean, I used to spend, like, days playing when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Like, as soon as I got out of school, we'd head over to wherever the band practiced at, and we'd play for, like, a few hours.
And now it's just, like, it does feel like work a lot of time, even though, I mean, I do genuinely enjoy doing it. I don't know why I feel like I'm doing it to my brain. So I'm trying not to do it, but
I thought about doing a, like, you know how you were saying you were learning that AC/DC album?
Mm-hmm.
I thought about trying to maybe kind of do that, like pick a Rush album or something.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea.
Just to get back in the practice of figuring out new stuff again. I think maybe that'll jimmy something loose in my brain when it comes to writing my own stuff.
It definitely makes you want to do it more. I mean, that's one thing I do have down, but no matter how interested I am in the material, I always will find a reason to just sit and look at YouTube. You know, it's always more fun to watch the workout tapes than it is to actually do them.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I've never, like, as far as instructional stuff goes, I don't normally, like, watch that for fun. Well, no, that's not true. Sometimes I do. Yeah, sometimes I do. I like watching, like, did I ever talk to you about the Z Frank videos?
Zeke Frank.
He does these nature videos. Yeah, but he does them real funny. Like,
I don't know.
I mean, that dude's been around forever. Like, he was an internet personality, and I think he worked for, what was it, Wired or something like that for a while?
Mm-hmm.
And then he started doing internet videos, or doing YouTube videos again, but he kind of switched his format a little bit. He has this real dry voice. But he says funny things, and he tells you, like, true facts about nature, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, and it's informative, and they make me laugh. So I like watching stuff like that on YouTube. Or I watch, like, yesterday I was watching a Mary Spender video.
Oh, yeah. She's one of those that does a lot of clickbait titles, so I've been kind of not watching her.
Yeah, and I think she's been real focused on, like, how do I want to put it? Like, she wasn't making a lot of traditional inroads in the music, so she got real focused on doing it, like, DIY style.
Yeah.
And I think she's been spending a lot of time, like, making videos that are really just basically promotional videos for what she's
doing. Yeah, a lot of them are doing that. A lot of it, it's the thing about, you know, they've got to make a living at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then at some point they realize how thin the actual content is when you're doing it three times a week.
Like, the one I watched yesterday was, it was a clickbaity one. It was something about, like, is the future, the way to save the future of music audio, cassettes, or something like that.
Yep, that's the one I started watching, and then I stopped.
And then it basically just turned out into being a promo for, like, her cassette.
I knew it was, too. I was just like, you know, this is just, the answer is no.
I mean, she was making some points about offering physical things for sale because other forms of things are just licensing. And it's stuff I heard before. But it wasn't, like, completely like a commercial, but it was a commercial. Like,
yeah, it's real annoying when they do that, mostly because who is the one that I, is it Jonathan Tyler Cordy? He's a guitarist from England. Incredible guitarist, by the way. But holy shit, does that guy like to talk. And that's the thing with a lot of them, is that, for one thing, he's going to play for like 10 minutes at the beginning of the video. So you have to get past that. And then he goes on with a pre, they all do this fucking preamble that you're like, well, get to the fucking point. And they never, sometimes they never do. Huh. Sometimes they don't get to the point. And I was like, I feel like I've been had. But I know it's not just these kind of YouTube videos. I think that's the style.
It's almost like they've got a manual or something.
I think YouTube tells them this is what you have to do in order to get people to watch. Hmm. And so they do it. Because I don't think they want to do that. I was making myself laugh the other day because I was imagining the little photo shoot they have to do of themselves with different goofy reactions for their little thumbnails. Because they have, you know, they have to sit there and do 1,000 of those, right? Because it's always just a goofy-ass fucking facial reaction, right?
Like a reaction shot. Yeah.
So they had to do that. They had to sit there for probably a good little amount of time because they're not just doing one. And I was just like, how do they just sit there and go, this is what my life is now? I'm making womp womp faces for my YouTube video.
Shouldn't I be playing my guitar?
What they are. They're womp womp faces. They're like, grr, grr. That's what they're.
They've all graduated from some school of YouTube or something.
Yeah.
Here's how you do it.
But I mean, that's what you got to do to make a living doing that. I mean, I've got to do what I got to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and I mean, the only logical answer is if I don't like it, I don't have to watch it. Like,
yeah, the other thing I was thinking is like, you know, this has all changed from just a year or two ago. So who knows? Maybe by the end of the year, they probably, you know, they'll have to reevaluate their entire business model, probably.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be, and I don't know, I always think this one, well, I don't know, sometimes we're on a cusp, but there seems to be a lot of reaction to ad stuff now, like negative reactions, the more places keep pushing more and more types of ads. Like, for instance, oh dear God, this is a little bit old news, but Roku has filed for a patent.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to, how do I want to say this, inject ads when you pause things that aren't your TV but are connected to your TV, like a video game system.
Ugh.
So they are working on a way to detect when you've paused like your video game and then launch an ad while you're paused. That got about the response you would think it would from people.
Yeah.
And then, like, I mean, there's stuff like, you know, Amazon's doing this, like, the pause ad injection, like when you pause a movie or something like that, they'll pop an ad up. It's just they're shoving so much advertising into people's faces that it's getting to the point where people are reacting to it and just saying, I'm just going to start watching Blu-rays or something.
I mean, yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it just feels like the general vibe on places like, when I glance at comments on articles and stuff like that, like, and it depends on where you go. Cause I mean, some stuff you got to take with a grain of salt. Cause if you're looking at like Slashdot, they're a cranky bunch anyway, most of the time.
Yeah. I was going to say any reaction online is, I mean, you can't get, it's hard to gauge that anyway, right?
Yeah. Cause I mean, you're only getting a sample of the people who are actually vocal about something.
Yeah. I think of that every time I look. Speaking of YouTube videos, just like I'll look at, because they usually only show the first comment on these guitar YouTubes, and they're always just horrible.
Oh, just somebody being like, "You're out of tune, bruh."
Yeah, it's like a joke. It's like they're doing it as a joke because it's like, of course we can't have a positive comment. Yeah. It has to be like, "Yeah, man, maybe you should learn how to play if you're going to do it on the internet." Yeah. And stuff like that. And I'm like, what the fuck? Who? You better fucking be Steve Vai to be doing that. Because that's the only person that gets to do that. And even he wouldn't be a dick.
I've never necessarily understood the need to comment on something if you don't like it. But like, you aren't really contributing anything by your comment, you know? Like, the reason just to comment, a snarky comment, and then that's it, like an insult.
And also, it feels like the world has changed in that being mean isn't the fun thing that everybody thought it was, used to think it. You know, it used to be making a snarky comment, we get laughs, and now it's like, oh, that's kind of mean.
Like, why are you even mean?
But nobody seems to care.
Maybe it's a cultural shift where, you know, what we used to think of as mean, like, doesn't mean what we think it means anymore. I don't know. I mean, in general, I don't know if this is like me turning into a cranky old man, but I wonder what's wrong with people. Like,
it is hard to see if it's you or if it's the world. I think it's probably both.
I mean, there's legit stuff where, okay, so like I have, like in our city town area here, we have separate cans for our recycling and our trash, right? And for convenience sake, like, I have a driveway that goes back to a gate that leads to my backyard, and I was keeping my cans in front of my gate so I could just drag them out to the street, like, without having to go through a gate and do all this stuff. The week before, I go out to go put my recycling stuff in my recycling bin, and somebody had dumped their nasty, maggoty trash in there. And it was in bags, but the bags were like torn, and there was like, I mean, they were covered in maggots, dude. It was disgusting, and it smelled terrible. And I'm like, I can't just leave those there because the recycling won't take the can, you know? Yeah. So I had to go get gloves and like manually pick these things up out of my recycling can to put them in my trash can because I didn't know what else to do with them. And I'm like, but both cans were right there. Why did they put it in the recycling can? It would have been annoying enough if they would have put it in the trash can originally, because I would have still had to deal with a smelly, maggoty thing when I opened the lid. But at least it would have been in the right can, and I wouldn't have had to touch them. And I'm just sitting there going, like, what is wrong with people? Now, that I think is legitimate, right? But then when I see stuff like that just annoys me, and I go, what is wrong with people? I'm like, is that just me? Like, because some stuff is just, you know, it's I'm grumpy or something that day, and I'm sensitive to whatever's going on, and I'm like, so I can take a step back and realize that, okay, this is my problem, this is a me thing.
But
there's always going to be, every generation, you know, always has some sort of conflict with the following generations where they just don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. So there was always a little bit of that built in, I think. But
I guess. I mean, I don't really care what everybody's doing. I just
don't, you know, I mean, yeah, there's definitely cultural things right now that I don't understand and I don't see a point in, and they seem more harmful than good. But right. I don't know. What do I know? I'm Gen X, man. We're the forgotten generation.
Are we?
Mm-hmm. People don't give a shit about Gen X. They didn't give a shit about Gen X when we were, like, you know, the current generation. I guess there was still a generation. When we were the adult current generation, I guess. That's what I mean to say. We were that cusp generation that, you know, we're growing up and we didn't have things that are very commonplace now. As far as technologically concerns, like, just even the internet, for instance, not to mention cell phones and video calls in our pockets and just things that anybody born like after 2000 essentially like grew up with.
Yeah.
And they take it for granted because it was just part of their life. It's like us taking cars for granted, you know, like, or something. Or even, I guess, indoor, you know, toilets for that matter.
Oh, I don't take indoor plumbing for granted, like you.
You cherish your indoor plumbing daily?
Every day I say a little prayer.
To Jah?
To Jah.
And he increases the number of cars in a row by exactly one?
Uh-huh.
Okay. But I don't know. Sorry, I'm kind of babbling there. I don't know. I thought I was going to edging towards a point, and I never really had one.
I don't know. I don't listen to you.
That's true. So I guess it doesn't matter if I babble.
Babble on.
Oh, so yeah, I had wrote you about that thing that I thought we could start doing maybe as a bit that we could try out for the Crankcast, just to give us something sort of like what we used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, how do we want to do it? Do we each pick one and...
You gotta pick.
Like, do we each pick one and then we make each other read it? Or do we agree on one and read it? Or do we just... I don't know.
You get to pick one, and then I get to pick one, and then we just do it over again.
But what if I pick one and you just don't want to read it?
Well, I'm not going to want to read it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do we do it so we discuss like a number of choices and then pick one that we can agree on?
Oh, just do it.
Because I was thinking, like, what if we read the Hex, real very short, brief series from the 80s?
The Hex?
It's just called Hex, but it was Jonah Hex in the future.
Okay.
But I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm like, Mike's not going to want to read that. It was only like 12 issues or something like that, but...
How am I going to get it?
We can figure that out.
Uh-huh.
But... And I was like, maybe we should do something current instead.
Hex it is.
Or, you know, I'm thinking like maybe something current.
Hex it is.
What was that one that was out a couple years ago? Well, that's not really current if I'm saying it's a couple years ago.
Hex it is.
Or like, I don't know, you know, I'm just saying. Or like we could read What the.
So our first one will be Hex.
Are you making this decision?
Yeah, I just told you, dum-dum.
You said I was supposed to be making the decision.
Yeah, but you're not.
Oh, that was a nice Nick Cage.
I know you. I know who you are. You know why you are.
Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir.
Or I was thinking, like, we could read an arc of Rom, but then I wouldn't know exactly which arc to read of Rom.
You just want to talk. That's what you're doing right now.
Isn't that the point?
You know the answer. You're just saying stuff.
I know this in my heart to be true.
I'm so annoyed that I can't walk around in my house.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm trapped. At my wife's done this to me. How dare she?
It's not her fault, man. Boston's fault. Blame it on Boston.
The band?
Yeah, she got third stage.
I'm going to take her by the hand and make her understand.
A man, duh.
Let me tell you something, Amanda.
I watched this goofy movie the other night called Shaky Shivers.
The Goofy movie?
Well, yes, it was a Goofy movie.
Shaky Shivers?
Shaky Shivers.
What the fuck is that?
At first, I don't know. I didn't know. I really didn't know what to expect from the description.
Where did you see Shaky Shivers?
It was on Amazon.
Shaky.
And it's sort of a horror comedy, but dumb. Well, not exactly. Dumb's not the right word. But it's got like werewolves and weird plant zombies and a Mother Earth witch thing and a Sasquatch.
Ooh, a Gaia witch.
And an ice cream shop.
Is it funny?
Yeah, and it's kind of cringy too. Like, watch it because it's not like low budget like Polonia Brothers.
Yeah.
But it's like it is definitely like a low budgety movie with people who have worked with higher budgets before. I think, or it's like making a movie on a TV budget kind of thing. Because the effects and stuff aren't terrible. That's like. And it's not just like where they bought themselves an effects package and kept reusing it over and over.
Effects package.
So it's, yeah, it is funny, I think.
That's funny.
But, I mean, I did laugh. And I obviously, it made enough of an impression that I'm talking about it to you and saying, hey, watch that.
Hey, watch this.
Hey, you're watching here.
Watch this. Hey, you, watch this. I got a voicemail from the animal hospital.
About your delicate deer ankles?
Yes. My deer has ankles.
Well, I was talking about your delicate deer ankles.
No, they're just checking to see how Cooper is.
Oh, like just a random, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. How's he doing?
Well, I took him in to see how he was because he had this little nubbin thing on his rib cage that I was like, is that a growth? And I took him in there and he was, they were like, yeah, that's his microchip.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay.
Well, better than a cyst.
So, yes, better than a cyst. Which is.
So you got your cat lojacked?
Most people do now.
Do they?
Yeah. Sometimes they don't ask you, they just do it.
Did you get him from a rescue place or from a pet place?
I got him from the woods.
The woods?
He came out of the woods.
Where you got woods around there?
He was at Julie's parents' house.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I was out on the front porch and he runs out of the woods. And Julie tried to do that shit about, oh, there's no woods. It's like, yes, there are. You liar.
He ran out of the woods and into your heart.
He did, kinda. He is, he's real annoying, but he's super cute. Every time he meows, Julie and I are convinced that it's just him saying, hey, I'm Cooper!
Like in a cartoon voice?
Yeah, he just likes to tell you he's Cooper. Hey, I'm Cooper!
Cooper!
But then he just doesn't shut up.
Cooper, Cooper, Cooper!
Hey, I'm Cooper! Hey, I'm Cooper! It's like annoying Groot.
Okay.
It's like Groot that can't save you from interdimensional threats.
Or anything else, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, somebody needs to save me from him.
Somebody save me! Yeah. There's something else. I was going to tell you. Oh, so, all right. You've seen The Last Unicorn, right? I mean, I think everybody of our generation.
It's been a long time, but yeah.
I know. I mean, I haven't seen it in a while, but I've watched it enough in my lifetime. I can still quote parts of it. And that came, I mean, that came out right in that time period where I was like a kid, 82, I think. So I was only like 8 years old or 7 years old when it came out. And it was on cable an awful lot, so. But I, for some reason, even after, you know, having watched that movie so many times, I never actually read the book before. So I decided I was going to read some Peter S. Beagle books. And I read, he wrote his, or published his first book when he was 19. And it's this book about this guy that lives in a graveyard and has ghost friends. And these ghosts fall in love, but they're getting ready to pass on to the other side. It's like a real sad story. but then, that was in like the early 60s. And then he published like a travelogue kind of book. And then he didn't publish Last Unicorn until, that was like his third book. And he published that in 68, I think. Which I also never actually, I didn't realize it was that old either. But it's weird, like, because his writing style is really good, but they didn't, that's one example where they didn't much change the movie from the book. Even the dialogue and stuff. But I think has something to do with he co-wrote the script for it too.
Mm-hmm.
But then he, after 40 years or whatever, that being around, he wrote like two follow-up novellas to The Last Unicorn. And I'm reading those now, and that's kind of interesting because it takes place like years later. And, like, there's a different main character and stuff like that. So basically it's sort of like in the world of Last Unicorn, I guess. But it's pretty good. He's got a definite, I'm trying to pinpoint how to, like, describe his style. Because it's sort of super old school, but at the same time it's
super old school.
I mean, you figure, he's a writer from the 60s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And while I suspect, you know, you could probably intentionally change your style, and your style is going to evolve somewhat anyway as you get older. but I'm not seeing a lot of stylistic difference between the thing he published in 68 and the thing he published like a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think, like, I don't know how to compare it to, because it's definitely not like what I think of as modern styles of writing, but I don't know, man. Anyway, it's pretty good though, if you've never read the book.
I'm only reading Hex right now.
Oh, you're reading that right now?
Mm-hmm.
What for?
I don't know.
I didn't even think you liked Hex.
Hex?
Yeah. Are we talking about Hex?
Mm-hmm. Just talking about Hex.
All right.
Shut your mouth.
I am doing this comic right now where I have to draw the tails by hand.
Okay, stop bragging.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to explain why I keep falling, like, losing my I keep drifting off in my conversation. So they wanted these kind of tails where they wanted them to look kind of loopy and all over the place, you know? Sort of like lots of extra curves, where my normal style is to try to get from point A to point B in the shortest distance possible.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted something that they said, the way they described it was like they love organic tails, you know, the more loops or whatever is the better kind of thing. And I'm like, okay. But the only way I could think of to do that was to create a brush, a custom brush that had a sort of pointy end on either end.
Mm-hmm.
And then draw that with the paintbrush tool, because you can't apply that kind of brush to the shape brush tool.
This is in...
The blob brush tool, I mean. This is in Illustrator. I mean, yeah, if I was doing it in Photoshop, it would be a different thing entirely. But so I have to use the paintbrush tool, which creates a stroked single line.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses that stroke as its shape. But I tried doing this, like, okay, so there are different ways of building balloons. Like, the old school digital way used to build them in layers, where the strokes were... I'm trying to think, because I never really understood why you go through all these extra steps versus the way I do it, but I know it has advantages.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they build them in layers somehow so that your fills are separate from your strokes, and that's how they put them together. And the way I always do it is I join balloons, like, I use the alt join, where it doesn't make them one actual shape, it just kind of, they stay distinct shapes, but they're grouped and the overlapping parts are hidden. Which to me is just a much simpler way of doing things. But, so at first with these tails, these custom tails I'm doing, I was like, well, okay, maybe I can just try to do it the old school way and do this layer where I've got the fill on top and the stroke underneath, and that way it looks like they're joined, but they're not really joined. So I could leave it all as a stroke, and that would make it a lot more easier to edit later if I had to. But the way the stroking worked, it just didn't, it never looked right on the tail end, essentially. It just looked really funky. So what I have to wind up doing is, after I draw these lines with their strokes, I have to expand the appearance to make them fills, and then stroke those fills, and then do what I would normally do when I join balloons.
Mm.
But it's like a bunch of extra steps.
I don't think so.
And I'm just like, oh, man.
I don't think I'm going to choose to do that.
I just don't know. I didn't know another way to accomplish what they wanted. That's like, I'm betting it's one of those things where there is an easy way to do it. And technically the way I was trying should have been an easy way, but like I said, it kept fudging up the end of the tails. So I couldn't figure out how to fix it. I had to get rolling on the book. So I'm just like, I'm just going to do what I know.
Yeah.
Cause sometimes you got to make that choice. Like you have to settle for the not good way because you have to get moving on it. Like, you don't have time to, like, fiddle around and actually figure out, a good way to do it, but...
The story of my life.
Yeah, it happens like that sometimes. Anyway. I don't know, man. What else is new? What you got going? You reading Hex?
Mm-hmm. It seems... He's got this shit on his face.
That's a scar, man.
Oh. It's not cool to say that?
To say he's got shit on his face?
Mm-hmm.
It seems a little, you know, abusive.
I feel like he wouldn't care. I feel like he'd just shoot me.
Right, yes. He would plug you.
Hmm.
To speak like an old-timey person.
He'd plug me?
Yeah, he'd plug you.
Hmm.
So another weird thing about these tails, and I can't figure out why this happens. So the method I'm using creates a uniform tail. Like, we're normally, like, the tails, I go start a little wider where they join the balloon and end up to a sharp point. So the whole tail, like, tapers and narrows. This creates a pretty uniform, like, the body of the tail is uniform until you get to the end when it tapers down to a point. So it's all through the line of it, it's the same width from edge to edge. But whenever it joins up with a balloon, it always looks like it's pinching down a little bit. So I have to manually go in and, like, make it look wider so it doesn't look like it's... I can't tell if that's an optical thing or if it's actually doing it.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Why are you asking me?
I'm confused.
What do you think I know? What do you think I can help?
I don't know, man.
Why are you bothering me with this?
I don't know, man.
Why? Why would you bring this to my doorstep?
I don't know, man.
I don't care. I don't want to know. I don't want to help you with it. I want you to just leave me alone with this bullshit.
Okay.
That's what you just sounded like Julie whenever I do something silly to her. She goes, "Okay."
Son of a... Well, maybe you do one.
That's the only way you should deal with me when I'm being stupid.
Laying a bunch of bullshit down. I don't know how I'm supposed to react to it.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Have you seen...
No.
Oh, God, what the hell was the name of it? I watched it last night. It was a Nick Cage movie.
Nope. I probably haven't seen it then.
I finally got off that fucking weirdo bullshit romance movie binge. By the time I was done with that, from April to, like, 2 weeks ago, mid-April to 2 weeks ago, I had watched 80-plus of these Lifetime-style or Hallmark-style romance movies.
That sounds like a you problem.
That was definitely a me problem. And it was a... I don't know. And finally, I just wound down. I'm like, okay, I don't think I can't watch anymore. And I still had some of them queued up. I was like, I got rid of all of them in the queue. Because I'm like, I'm done. I do that with chili cheese Fritos sometimes. Like, at least once a year.
You just feel like not eating them anymore? You eat so many, you make yourself sick of them.
I buy like a regular size bag of them. I eat the whole bag, and then I don't need them again for a year. Like, yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Well, I mean...
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah, this Nick Cage movie I watched last night, it's called Between Worlds.
Between Worlds?
Yeah, it's from a few years ago.
How is that guy making all these movies?
Oh, he's made a shit ton in the past, like, 6 years. Like, it's like he's had a renaissance or something. Except this one's pretty terrible. It's, like, cringy Nick Cage. Just his acting in it and stuff. And he's, like, got this out-of-shape truck driver, and you keep seeing him, you know, like, with the clothes off. It's like he's got this dad bod thing going on. And it's this weird thing where his wife and kid died, and he meets up with this lady who, when you choke her, she can go to the land of the dead and bring dead people back, and her daughter got into an accident, and she tries to bring her daughter back and brings Nick Cage's dead wife's soul back instead in her daughter's body.
Oh, weird.
And that sounds a lot cooler than the actual movie is.
Yeah. It is like a potentially upsetting movie.
He's got some moments in there where I'm having flashbacks to like Wicker Man or something. Like, just really, like, there's a scene where he's fixing the daughter's motorcycle and the mother's in the kitchen looking out at him, and then they start getting into a water fight, the daughter and Nick Cage, with a hose. And, like, she's spraying him, and he's doing this, like, stripper dance or something.
Okay.
In slow motion. Like,
you're lying.
It's just really weird, man. But not weird, like, it was just weird because it's Nicolas Cage being Nicolas Cage weird, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I finished watching Nightman. I went ahead and watched it through season two. I think, again... Because I think I explained a little bit when I was still watching in season one last time we talked that sometimes it would get weird, and when it got weird, it wasn't necessarily a good show, but it was at least sort of interesting. And that's what I think I was remembering when I remembered I liked it. Mm-hmm. It got even weirder in the season two. And I must have more been remembering season two when I was thinking about that show, whenever I say, oh, it wasn't that bad or something. Because, again, it never approached levels of being a good show. But it was at least entertaining-ish and kind of interesting. They went through this giant cast churn between season one and season two, including one where they replaced a character with a different actor, but it's the same character.
Mm.
Like a two Darrens kind of situation. And I'm sitting there going, that's not Raleigh. That's not Raleigh. You know, like over and over. Until I just got used to him.
That's all it took?
Just one look. Just
to get rid of him? Get used to him?
Yeah, I had to get used to him, but it took me like half the season to get used to him. So. And then they did that thing that a lot of shows do where, again, I don't know if this is a me thing, but they'll latch on to one bad guy and make them recurring, and it's always the one that I don't like. Like, I'm like, this just isn't a great bad guy.
Yeah.
I was like that with the Borg. I hated the Borg. And the Borg like took over Star Trek for a while, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, why? Why are you focusing on this, like, mediocre kind of bad guy? I mean, I understand they were a big threat. But
everybody else liked them. You didn't.
Yeah, and then, again, I guess that's just a me thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the definition of it. But, I mean, you can't really do anything in that situation.
Yeah. But they did that with this show where there was this rich billionaire. Actually, man, it's got a lot of parallel to, like, Musk. This rich billionaire, like, starts up a social media thing. They didn't call it that then because it was 1998. But he has a virtual world, and he can, like, pull people into the virtual world, like Lawnmower Man shit or something. Mm-hmm. Like Tron. Tron meets Lawnmower Man.
Mm-hmm. I can do that.
And his name was Keys, I remember. And then they just kept bringing him back. Is Nightman's, like, arch-nemesis or something.
Is he actually in the comics?
I don't know. That's what we should read. We should read Nightman.
We can do that. But you've already decided on Hex, so we're reading Hex.
Let me look up how... We don't want to read something that's, like, too long either, right?
I mean, Nightman isn't short.
No. Maybe we could focus on the Ultraverse. I don't know. I'm just testing things out here. I thought it would give us something to, like, focus on, so we're not just always rambling about stuff.
Yeah, it did, but you keep changing your mind, and that causes not focus. So
causes not focus?
Yes. So I focused you, and now you're trying to unfocus us.
I'm the unfocus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the soft focus.
Focus power, Danielson.
Focus on. Oh, yeah, but speaking of Tron, too, I went back and rewatched that cartoon, Tron, what was it, Tron Revolution?
Yeah, I guess. I didn't watch it.
It was, you know, I mean, that came out in, like, 2013 or something like that, and it didn't last long. It had an odd number of episodes for a season, 19,
mm-hmm.
which I think is strange. And apparently it got... it got canceled because of, you know, ratings, but they were also sticking it in weird-ass time slots, like midnight.
Midnight?
Yeah, like...
So not for kids.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, people die. Well, people, programs. Programs die in it and stuff, yeah. Although, I mean, I would have think it would have been okay for teenagers.
Wait, is that the Peter Chung one?
It was Tron Uprising. That was what it was called.
So it wasn't for kids. That's...
What'd
they play that on?
It was XD, I think.
Oh, weird.
And,
Cartoon Network?
Yeah, yeah, but it was, like, super late.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Cartoon Network or Disney's XD channel or something like that that they had back. I'm trying to think. But, yeah, from what I read, it was canceled because of ratings, but then, you know, it didn't help their scheduling it the way they did and stuff.
Because
It was, in my opinion, that cartoon is actually probably better than Tron Legacy.
The movie?
Yeah. And, I mean, I like Tron Legacy fine.
That movie isn't the greatest.
No, but I like it fine. You know, the biggest bug in that movie for me is fake Jeff Bridges. But
yeah.
But this cartoon is, like, like really good. The story's really good. The art's perfect for it. It's animated really well for the time period. I'm not even going to qualify that. I'm going to say it was animated really well, period. And it was just, like, I mean, it wasn't a perfect show. Like, any show, there were episodes where I'm like, this just feels like they're kind of stringing it along for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they would do that, though, when the season was so oddly numbered. But it's just a shame that it didn't really go anywhere because it didn't get enough of a viewership. But because I could have seen that one going on for several seasons at least.
Yeah.
Definitely worth checking out if you ever see it, like, in a rebroadcast or on the schedule somewhere or something. I had old copies of it that I had kept from back when it came out.
Would you say it's better or worse than Hex?
I haven't read Hex since I was a kid, so I don't know if it was better or worse than Hex.
Hmm.
I tried to find Hex, like, to see if they had put it in a trade, but I couldn't actually figure out whether they put it in a trade or not.
Well, this doesn't bode well.
DC Hex comic trade collection. Maybe it did and I just wasn't looking. Maybe it was part of, like, a larger Jonah Hex collection or something. I don't even remember who worked on it. Like,
wasn't it Jimmy Palmiotti? No, he worked on the recent stuff.
It was, oh man, this was, yeah, this is real old. It was like 85 and 86.
Oh, wow.
Because, I remember, I was living in Florida and I was reading it. And I was like, I had known who Jonah Hex was from the odd comic I'd read before, like, I don't know, like sometimes my dad would have one or something like that. But I didn't really read Western comics when I was a kid. And they had launched him into the future, and I'm like, well, this looks cool. Future Hex.
Future Hex.
The first issue came out in... When did this come out? 1985, September of
85.
And it was, Teixeira. Mark Teixeira was the artist. How do you say his name? Is it Teixeira?
That's what I would say, yeah.
Okay. Don't really recognize the rest of the team. Michael Fleischer wrote it. Klaus Janson inked the cover. And the colorist was Bob LaRose. Letterer was Peter Iro. Now that's really ringing a bell. And it was 75 cents for the first issue.
What the fuck?
How do people buy comics now? They're like $5 a pop and stuff.
Yeah, that's an issue.
Yes, it's $5 an issue.
You son of a bitch.
What?
You son of a bitch.
You love it.
I hate it.
You love it when I do that. Yeah, you know him.
Don't like that.
Anyway. DC did something called Jenny Hex.
Jenny Hex?
Which I guess is like a Lady Jonah Hex. I guess. I don't know. It was something that came out in 2020. From the pages of Young Justice.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm looking up comics with the word Hex in it. Anyway.
Probably a bunch of them.
Probably. There was a series that DC Vertigo had out for at least a couple of years called Hex Wives. Yeah. I don't know, man. If I keep talking now, I'm just going to keep talking nonsense. So we can, move on. Call it.
I'm feeling scratchiness in my throat. I'm worried that Julie has given me her funk. Do you think that's what it is? Do you think I have the funk for 40,000 years?
You got the funk. You got the funk.
I don't want the funk.
You got the funk.
But I don't want the funk.
You got the funk.
I don't think you're understanding.
Well, I think I'm understanding that you got the funk.
You don't usually, you're not usually the one that sings. That's pretty new.
Well, you know, trying to, expand my borders. Oh, man, I forgot about Razor Line. Remember that Marvel line? It was a Clive Barker thing?
Oh, yeah.
One of the comics in that thing was called Hokum and Hex.
Was Hellraiser part of that?
I don't think so. I think these were all, like, new properties that Clive Barker, I'm doing air quotes, created, like, made up.
Yeah.
Probably that consisted of him just, like, scribbling something on a napkin and handing it off to, like, Marvel. Because I don't think he had a lot of direct involvement in it. I could be wrong about that. I'm speaking purely from, like, early 90s memory, because this book was, like, 93, 94. So I don't know, like, because I don't remember him actually writing any of the books, but I could be wrong about that, too. I don't know. Anyway. I'm trying to remember what the other titles were in that, because there was, like, three or four, at least. Superheroes from the Mind of Clive Barker.
Yeah, one of them was a superhero, right? Or were they, like, a team? Or was it a pair? It was a couple.
I think all the books were superheroes.
Really?
Hokum and Hex was... They were, like, magic superheroes? Magic-based superheroes or something?
I thought it was all magic-based.
Oh, man, it's been so long. I'm just looking at a cover here. Like, I can't even remember who worked on any of this stuff, but it took me forever to remember that it was Englehart that did Nightman. So,
the Nightman
versus the Dayman.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, well, you know, give yourself a whatchamacallit, COVID test. See if you're all right.
Do you want me to do it live?
I mean, you can if you want. I wouldn't insist on it, though.
I don't think I need to.
I remember you guys tried to get me to do one.
I don't remember that. On the air, I tried to get you to?
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago. It was when they first started offering them for free in the mail.
Yeah.
And I had mentioned that I had gotten mine. Maybe, no, it wasn't you. It was Sean. Sean kept going, like, do it now. Do it now.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to do it now. I don't feel sick. Why would I do it now? But
you sound sick.
I've been real congested this week. I think it's allergies, though, because I've been getting a lot of eye gunk and stuff, too. It's not fun. But anyway.
Eye gunk? Yeah, I bet it's not.
Eye gunk, man. It's the worst. So I wonder if this is part of... Yeah, that's... There it is. Okay. All right. So, anyway, I guess you got anything else you want to say there, man?
Not really. I can look for email.
What's this new function in Skype called TwinCam?
I do not know. What is TwinCam?
I just noticed the icon in the bottom of my Skype window.
What does it do?
I don't know. It's got a... The icon's a camera with a plus sign, and underneath it says twin cam. What happens if I hit it?
That's what I was asking.
Pops up a window that says add twin cam, and it shows a QR type thing. Download Skype mobile app and log in with this user. Scan the QR code with your mobile camera app. Call related notifications will not be visible on the twin cam device. It still doesn't tell me what it is, though. I mean, I guess I could just go look up twin cam. What is Skype Twin Cam? I'm just wondering if it might be something fun. We already did this. Didn't we used to have a Discord channel for a minute?
Yeah, but I don't know how to do that shit.
Two cameras. Oh. It's a way to link your phone in with your desktop camera? so that you can have two camera angles on one, you know, per your call.
Oh, okay.
That would be kind of cool if you were, like, doing something with your hands and you wanted your second camera down there and then you wanted a camera on your face, right?
I guess.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. I'm wondering if that's useful to us at all.
I don't know.
And that's, okay, so that's the other thing, like, with the comic thing. Do we read them in real time? Like, I don't know what we're doing with it.
Well, you need to make a plan of action. I already told you what we're doing.
Reading Hex.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but, I mean, are we doing it, in, like, in the form of a book report? Are we, like, doing a thing where we're, like, a Star Wars minute and we break down page by page?
Your idea, you need to decide.
I was just blipping a thing out, and I didn't...
No, you need to decide.
I mean, this is all your fault.
No, it's not.
You're the one that made me do a podcast to begin with.
No, you can't... No, this is how long has it been? You don't get to complain now.
It's all your fault.
Nope.
By golly. By gum.
Henrik writes, hi, Crank Mike and other comic book people. A few episodes back, you were talking about Lovecraft adaptations, being a big fan of his work minus the racism. I think it's a shame that we haven't gotten a big budget version of any of his stories. More than anything, I wanted to see Guillermo del Toro's adaptation of At the Mountains of Madness. Not only is it my favorite Lovecraft story, but it's also one of the best suited for a movie adaptation, as it doesn't rely on the mortal sea strange and horrible creature and goes crazy trope.
I mean, he would definitely be somebody that I think his talents lean that way anyway. A lot of his stuff's very Lovecraftian. Or at least heavily horror fantasy based.
Sure.
And fantasy, I mean, like, very fantastic fantasy, not just, like, made-up shit.
That's fantastic.
I don't know. Wasn't Color Out of Night a big budget?
Out of Space?
Out of Space.
Definitely the biggest budget one.
I mean, that's a pretty big budget. I'm trying to think. I mean, and some stuff's just very, only sort of vaguely, like, a nod of the head towards Lovecraft. Things that, like, have names of the stories kind of thing.
Yeah.
Color
Out of Space, they've made like 17 versions of anyway.
Yeah. I think I sort of remember seeing one that was like a black and white one, and the only thing that was in color was the color.
Yeah, it was the German one.
Was that it?
It's in German, yeah.
I just vaguely remember watching it, but that's the only feature of that particular version of it that sticks out in my memory.
I've been watching the X-Men 97 animated series. I must admit that I don't love it as much as most seem to. I feel it has been rushing through comic book storylines at such a fast pace that they feel almost meaningless. There is no time for anything to have an impact, but the last three episodes of the season seem to have slowed down a bit, and I think that's improved things.
I haven't seen it yet, but that everything I've read so far about it has been really positive.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the old cartoon. I mean, not that I didn't like it, I just didn't care about it. But the new one is, like, still don't care about it, but it's definitely cooler than I thought it should be.
It's, I mean, yeah, I liked the 90s one well enough when it was on.
Because
at least it was X-Men and it was on.
Yeah.
It was on, I never had that thing where it seemed like it had more of a following than I thought it did. Like when it was current, I didn't realize that many people actually liked it.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, I'm still always going back to the earlier X-Men where Wolverine had that weird ass accent, Australian accent or whatever it was.
That was not
Todd. Yeah. But I still remember it was, early 90s, mid 90s, when Pizza Hut was running a cross promotion with the X-Men cartoon. And they were giving away a VHS cassette of like the first episode or first two episodes or something like that. And they had like cups that had X-Men graphic on them and stuff. And I think they even had like mini comics and things included with them. Because there was a Pizza Hut that had one of their, like, what do you call it, buffet bars or whatever that they used to have.
Buffet, yeah.
And we used to go there for lunch because it was, you know, pretty much right around the corner from work. and every time I go down there, I'd get all this, like, X-Men shit, you know? But anyway, I mean, it's cool that I don't really... a lot of things are retro now that were current, like, in my younger lifetime. So I don't... And I don't quite get the fascination with them. Like, why not just make a new X-Men comic? Or new X-Men cartoon? I mean, you could even make a new X-Men cartoon based on the, you know, 80s, 90s team and just do it. But instead, they're, like, going way retro on it, right? Like, the art and stuff similar to the art and animation from the 90s one? Mike?
What?
I was asking a question.
Oh, I didn't hear you ask a question.
I'm saying that this new one is basically mirroring the old one, right? It's like the same kind of art and anime.
It's the same. It's the same continuity.
Okay. Like, so I wasn't really clear on what the point of that was. Like, why not just do a new one?
No, it's the continuation.
Okay. But yeah, like I said, it does. People seem to like it. So it's good. Good for them.
Good for them.
Does it have Dazzler in it?
I haven't seen, but probably.
But it's going to have that, like, 80s blue bodysuit Dazzler. Or 90s blue bodysuit Dazzler, right?
Oh, well, boy.
That wasn't my favorite Dazzler costume.
It's because it's not the best one.
What is the best Dazzler costume? Or disco costume?
Maybe.
Anyway. Was that all from Henrik?
It's all from Henrik.
Thanks, Henrik. Good to hear from you, man.
Felipe writes, "Hi, guys. Thanks to Krang, my mother is enjoying the adventures of Johnny Domino. How long she'll keep at it, I'm not sure. Watching it has made me think of Time Tracks, another great show of the era, which doesn't seem to be streaming anywhere. Any thoughts on that, Jim Krang?"
Oh, I've talked about Time Tracks. I watched it last year, I think.
Yeah, he's talking about Time Tracks ad nauseum.
Oh, hell yeah, man. It was an interesting show. Good concept. It's a white guy that comes from a future where the white guys are the minorities. And so he doesn't really understand racism in the current time period. Plus, he's a cop from the future coming down to track down past criminals from the future that have gone to the past.
I did not know that was the future world.
Yeah, in his world, the slur for white people is Blanco.
Blanco?
Blanco, yeah.
Oh. Nice try, El Blanco Nino.
Little white boy. But yeah, I like Time Tracks. I think, obviously, there's things that don't quite hold up. Because, the state of effects in the early 90s and... Well, mid-90s, I guess, because I think that show was a little bit predates Nightman by a year or two. But, so there are things that don't quite hold up, but it was a solid show. I went back and watched it and enjoyed it. So I'm trying to remember how I watched it at the time. Whether it was streaming or whether it was through a DVD set or something. Might have been a DVD set. I don't remember. But, yeah, if you do get a chance to watch it again, it's, there are worse ways to kill your time.
Mm-hmm.
Was that all?
Yep.
Thanks, Felipe. Was that Felipe?
Yep.
Thanks, Felipe. All right, then. I've kind of given up on this whole what's going to be in stores next week thing. I realized. I haven't done that in this year so far, I don't think.
I don't think it matters.
Probably not. But, people should go. You should go to your comic store anyway.
Yep.
Support your local comics.
Do it, or I'll kill you.
Unless they're, like, terrible, or dicks, or something. In which case, they deserve to go out of business, so don't support them.
Yeah, or I'll kill you.
Right. So, pretty much either way, Mike will kill you.
Uh-huh. I'm going to kill you.
But he's already stated that he's going to destroy the planet anyway, so.
Yeah.
Eventually, he's going to kill you.
Yes. Eventually, I'm going to get to you. So stop trying.
One way or another, he's going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, let's hope Mike doesn't have COVID.
Yep, I got to go test.
All right. Everybody have a good weekend. we'll try to catch you next week. I don't know anymore. Goodbye.
Bye.